Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Ayin Aleph. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph at the top of the Amud at the Mishnah. Our Mishnah continues to discuss situations where somebody sold a sod, somebody sold a field, and the Mishnah speaks about a situation where the person who sold the field said that Hovukamash V'Toychay, that he wrote everything is included in the sale. So as we've learned many times in our shiurim, when somebody uses the words huva kol mash b'toychai, those extra words come to indicate that he's selling even more than would normally be included in the sale. But the Mishnah teaches us still, even though those words were used, the following things are not included. Lo yasabar, it's not the water pit. And even though he said kol mash b'toychai, the pit, which is considered a separate area, is not included in the sale. V'loyas agas, the place where they would crush grapes. V'loyas ashevach, nor the nest. Bein chareven, whether the pit, for example, has no water in it, or there are no birds in the nest. Bein yeshuvim, or whether they are usable. And as the Namuka Yosef says, that we would think if they're not usable, so then they aren't considered a separate area in the field. So the Mishnah teaches us it doesn't make a difference. Even though it's not very usable, the halacha is that they are not included in the sale. Tzarech, continues the Mishnah. Tzarech likul chay derech de Rabbi Kiva. The Mishnah here repeats the concept that Rabbi Kiva has taught us so many times, and that is that Hamoicha bein Yofa Moicha. So even though if I sold the property and I excluded the derech, so since I excluded the bar is excluded. So since the bar is excluded, we would say that I should have a way to get to the bar, which is still mine. Teaches us the Mishnah that that is not the case, and the bar, since Meicher ben Yofen Meicher, somebody who sells generously, so since he sells it generously, the halacha teaches us that he does not have a way to get to the bar. As we said many times in our shurim, he has to find a way to get there. The chamayimrim ain't a tzarech, because Hameicher ben Ram Meicher, and certainly if the seller knew that he's keeping the bar, included in knowing that he's keeping the bar, is also that he's going to have a way to get there. My Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva says the Mishnah agrees with the Chachamim, Bizman she'amalai chutz me'elu, in a situation where the seller wrote into the document that he's excluding all of these areas, then that loch is enetzarach likul chayderach, by adding these words, as we've been learning, there's no reason to say this word in the shtar, because he's entitled to them anyway. The fact that he put them into the shtar is an indication that he's doing it to say that not only am I entitled to these places, but I'm entitled to get there, as we learned the other day. So that's understandable according to Rabbi Kiva, why somebody would add those words to the document. But according to the Rabbanon, who this is anyway, that he's going to get the derech anyway, so why was this added? So the Gemara said that it was added l'shufer d'shtara. It was added just to make sure that everything is clear, even though that he would be entitled to these places, and he would be entitled to the derech as well. Machron l'acher. Now we have the other way around, where somebody owns a bar, and he sells that bar to someone else. So again, because Rabbi Kiva holds that Hamoicha ben Yofen Moicher, so then says Rabbi Kiva, Ein Tzarech Likach Lo Derech. The buyer does not have to buy a separate way to get to the bar. Included is understood according to Rabbi Kiva that when I sell the bar to someone, I sold him the way to get to the bar. And according to the Chachamim, who say, Moicha be'en Ra Moicha, So I sold you the bar, but I didn't sell you a derech to the bar. And therefore, you have to buy, if you want to have that, you have to pay that separately. Says the Mishnah. The Medvar Amurim, all of the halachas that we just discussed, do we say Moicha Be'en Yofa Moicha, Moicha Be'en Ram Moicha, says the Mishnah is in a situation of Moicha, where somebody sold the property. Avol Noisim Atana, when it comes to giving a gift, there everybody agrees that somebody who gives a gift gives it generously. Noisim Atana Be'en Yofa Noisim, if somebody who gives a gift gives it generously, and therefore it's included, and therefore the halacha is that we follow that, that's the way it will be. Hachan Shechalku, if you have brothers who are dividing a father's estate, Zocha B'Sada, so if each one is taking a different field that will be theirs, says the Gemara, says the Mishnah Zocha B'Kula, it's considered a complete sale. And what that means is, if, as we've learned, if there are two properties, the one has to go through the one property to get to the brother's property, the halacha is that he gave it up completely. So, as we discussed previously in our shiurim, if over here, in a case of Achim Shechalku, everybody agrees that Ein Yofa, so why are we using the Ein Yofa more to say that the inner brother, giving up a shear in the outer field, gave up his shear completely, and now he's going to have to figure out a way how to get into the inner property? Why don't we say the other way around, that the outer brother, even though he got the entire outer field, and left for his brother a way to get in? So the Rishonim asked this question, and Tosfos answers to this question that what the Mishnah, when it teaches us Achan Shechalku, is even though we're learning what each brother is or isn't entitled to in a situation of Achan Shechalku, but the Mishnah actually, says Tosfos, is teaching us that a case of Achan Shechalku should not be viewed as a sale. And when we have a sale, we have the discussion that we've been having throughout. Do we say Bein Yofa, do we say Bein Ra? Rather, says Tosfos, what happens when you have brothers dividing the property, what they're really doing is that they're being misalik themselves, that they're moving away from this property. What it means is I'm relinquishing my right. And since I'm relinquishing my right, the Mishnah is teaching us that siluk, relinquishing my right, means that I'm completely walking away. So if I got the pnimi and I'm giving up my rights in the chitzin, what that really means is that I'm not involved with the chitzin. I have nothing in the chitzin anymore. Since I have nothing in the chitzin anymore, that's what happened over here. So I obviously don't have a right to walk through the chitzin, because that's what I did by dividing this estate. That's what I'm doing. I'm completely I'm separating myself here from this property. The other Rishonim say, I saw other Rishonim in answer to this difficult question, explain that this statement in our Mishnah is actually to be considered a continuation of the previous line in the Mishnah. When the previous line in the Mishnah, we learned that there's a difference between a matana, a sale, and a mecher, a gift and a sale. And the Mishnah is saying that if this Achan Shechalku is to be considered like a sale, and therefore, since it's considered a sale, therefore, a gift, it's given in a very generous manner. Says the Mishnah, V'kayim Machzor B'Nechzei Eger. We discussed extensively the situation where a ger passes away, and the ger is the only person in Klal Yisrael who possibly doesn't have any relatives. The halacha is that the way somebody becomes hefker, so the halacha is that hechzik besada, hechzik bekula. What the Mishnah is teaching us is that even though we have been discussing various things that are in fields that are not considered part of the field, still, and therefore sale of a sada, as we learn now in our Mishnah, does not necessarily include all of those things, certain types of trees, bar, dos. Here it's different. Here he's taking over everything that the ger left over, and everything that's in the field, even if it's significant, things that can be significantly identified, he's taking over. The Mishnah teaches us he's taking over, by doing this act of kinyan, he's taking over everything. And it's interesting that the Rishonim make a very important point. In some ways, we're learning, there are, when you're machzik b'nechse hager, it's more inclusive, as we just learned. And the other way, we learn that being machzik hager is not as inclusive. For example, we spoke about the borders of a field, and we learned that when one buys a field, the borders go to the buyer. But by nechse hager, it isn't necessarily that. So we have to find the rule. We have to find the rule. What is the basis of the difference between when somebody's taking ownership in a ger's property versus all the other cases where somebody is buying a property or getting them as a gift? And the answer is fairly obvious. When you're taking something from being machzik b'nechse hager, you're being machzik from hefker. There isn't a buyer and a seller. There's just you who are being zoiche from the hefker. In a case where it's just you, where you are being zoiche from the hefker, so it's easier for you to take everything that's in the field, because there isn't a seller who's saying, well, this I had in mind, and this was included, and this wasn't included. And therefore, in such a case, everything in the field becomes yours. On the other hand, there, you have to do an act of kinyan. You have to do a chazakah. The chazakah could only be effective for what is in the property that you are doing the chazakah on. For whatever is not in the property that you are doing the chazakah on, so there was no way for you to become the owner of that. There was nobody else being maknah that to you. There's only you being zoichen something from hefker. And therefore, what is in the property, we don't start differentiating, is it separate from the field, or is it not separate from the field. You did an act of chazok on the field. Your act of chazok on the field gives you ownership for everything in the field. But even though it gives you ownership for everything in the field, what it does not do is it does not give you ability to take ownership for anything outside of the field, because there was no act of chazakah for anything that was outside of that field. Says the Mishnah further, a magdish as a sada. Again, if somebody is magdish a property, says the Mishnah, the loch is higdish is kula, the entire property, all these separations, all these things that we've separated out, doesn't apply when somebody is magdish. Reb Shimon Omer, ha-magdish is sada, somebody is magdish is sada, la-higdish elas ha-churav ha-murk la-sadna shechma. The churav ha-murkav and the sadna shechma are, even though, as we learned in the previous shiur, are considered separate places, because, so therefore they are included in the sale. But anything else that is not normally considered part of the field, like we just began our Mishnah, the bar and the dos, etc., then the halach is they will not be included in what you were magdish, when you magdish the field. Begins the Gemara Mishnah Mecher. Why does the Mishnah teach us that when you sell a property, all these things are not included? Or Mishnah Matana, and why is by Matana it different? Answers the Gemara. Pirish Rabbi Yehuda ben Akoysa lefnei Rabbi Zeh. Somebody who gives a gift. Pirish, he explained what Zeh Pirish, the one that gave a gift, gave it in a, explained that he's giving everything, Zeh loy perish. Ask the Gemara, Zeh perish, Zeh loy perish, Zeh loy perish, Zeh loy perishu. The entire discussion, ask the Gemara, that we're having throughout a perek, is specifically in a situation, is a situation that we don't have this clarity. The document is not clear. Because if the document were clear what is or isn't included, there would be no question. So obviously, both the case of a mechira and the case of a mesin and a gift was when you gave it away. So why are we saying that here you explained yourself and here you didn't explain? Ella, says the Gemara, zeh hoylai lefarish, zeh hoylai lefarish. The Gemara is saying there's a fundamental difference between a person who gets a gift and somebody who does a sale. And there are many pshatim. By a sale, when we have a sale, the halacha is that you're speaking out, you're negotiating, and you're speaking what is and what isn't included. So it should have been all discussed. And if it wasn't discussed, it's not included. When we speak about a matana, so the person who's getting a gift is getting a gift. You don't begin negotiating when you have a gift. And you accept whatever you get. And therefore, we take the gift, we look at the gift in a very different way as we look at the mechira. But a mechira, the fact that it wasn't stated, it means that it must have been not stated because it's not included. By a matana, we don't take that approach because these are not the kind of things that people include. That's one way of learning. The other way of learning, it keeps on going back to the concept that we keep on discussing, and as we will be discussing. When somebody gives a gift, the assumption, as we will learn, is that the person gives the gift in the most generous fashion. And since the assumption is that the person gives the gift in the most generous fashion, that means that everything that's on the field, I meant to give, because I give a gift as nicely and generously as possible. But when we speak about a mechira, and we know, and the Gemara says in many places, the assumption is that somebody who's selling a property is not selling the property because he just wants to sell it. He's selling the property because he needs to raise funds, and this is the way he's going to have money, by selling the property. So he's going to be selling, if he had the choice, if he had the ability, he would have never sold the property. So therefore, we could safely assume that he's selling as little as possible. And if there are things that we could legitimately say are not included in the sale, that's going to be our natural feeling to say that they're not included in the sale. And says the Gemara, to illustrate how we see the difference between a mechira and a matana. Says the Gemara, Huda Amalei, there was somebody who said, and the Rishonim explained, was speaking about a shchimira, and a shchimira divrei, shchimira kiksuvim kemesurim dami, and therefore there was no need for a kinyan. So Huda Amalei, somebody said, Havle leplanya based the machsamei agulfi. He said, give my home, I have a home that could hold 100 barrels, that should be given to this individual. Ishtakach, and when they wanted to fulfill what he said, Ishtakach, we found of a machsik meivesrim, that this home that holds 120, and there were no other homes. And the question is, what should we do? Amar Mazutra, so Mazutra said that he would only give the person 80% of the home, the amount that could hold 100 barrels. And the other part should not be given to that individual. Because Meir Amalei, explains Mazutra, he said, I'm giving you a home that holds 100 barrels. Meir Esrim Amalei, I didn't say I'm giving you a home that could hold 120 barrels. Ravashi Amamiloi Tanan. Ravashi says, when somebody sells, it's exactly as was said. Ava Moisna Matana, when we speak about a gift, Noisna Skulon, he gives it We assume that he meant to give even the bigger helm. Alma, so we see that there's a difference between a gift versus a sale. Mandiyah matana bein yofiyov. Hachnami mandiyah matana bein yofiyov. And therefore there's a difference. Even though we only found a larger home, that will be, even though we only found a larger home, that will be the home that will be given. The halacha follows Rav Ashi, that mois matana bein yofiyov. And we assume that the person indeed wanted to give him the larger home, the home that holds 120 barrels. However, says the Meiri, that this approach that we're taking, that we said that he meant to give the bigger home, and just didn't realize that this home could hold more barrels than he thought, is only in a case, says the Meiri, when the discrepancy is with the margin of error, which most Paiskim say is a sixth. So says the Meiri, if it's much more than that, if it means he said, I'm going to give you a home that holds 100 barrels and it holds 200 barrels, says the Meiri that even Rav Ashi would agree under those circumstances with Mazutra that he only entitled to half the house. The Taz says that if the person who was giving this gift had two homes, and one home has room to hold 100 barrels, and one home has room to hold more than 100 barrels, certainly under those circumstances, says the Taz, he's going to get the home that holds only 100 barrels. Because that will be, says the Taz, a situation of a moitzi mechaver ol varaya. The benefactor said 100 barrels. You're saying that he meant even the home that has 110 room for more, then you have to be able to prove that. What happens, says the Aruch HaShulchan, however, disagrees, that what happens if it's a discrepancy, going back to what the Meiri pointed out, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that the discrepancy is more than what is the normal discrepancy. So now we could say that he'll get, like the Taz says, he'll get that amount and he'll only get as much as was given. But says the Aruch HaShulchan, if the home that we find that he has is much larger than the home that he said he's giving, then there's a whole new consideration. And that is the consideration of a Mekach Tos. And once there's a consideration of Mekach Tos, it changes the entire discussion, and there the halacha will be that he'll get nothing because it wasn't what I meant to give. There's a discussion in the Poskim, the Marsham, Shechel Gimel, Simon Shun Tezayin, has a discussion where somebody sold the property, and as we're learning in our shir, he left for himself a right on that existing property. The question is, how do we understand, and now there's a dispute, both the person who sold the property and the person who bought the property are both not alive, but the Yorshim continue in the property that they received. And there's a dispute amongst the Yorshim here, what was included. Do the Yorshim of the buyer want to limit how much rights he has, the seller or his Yorshim have? And the seller said, our father deliberately left over rights in the field, and he left over those rights in a generous fashion that we should have very significant rights. Says the Mashal, that even though we've been learning, and Rakiv's opinion is, that Meicher bein Yofa Meicher, says the Marsham, that's when there is no reason to think differently. But in a case, as the case that we are discussing now, where it's very clear that he left over for himself rights, there we say that once the person went out of the way to leave himself rights, he must have left himself the most significant right. The Chedush, Sefer Siach Safi Kodesh, quotes the Chedush Yerim.
The pasuk says, we say in the tefillah on Shabbos, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelkoi. What is the matnas chelkoi that Moshe Rabbeinu rejoices with? So he explains that we know that by Kabbalah Satorah, all of Klal Yisrael were given crowns. They were given two crowns when they said Nasa before Nishma. And then, at the time of the Egel, they lost those crowns. But everybody receives those crowns back on Shabbos. So, Moshe Rabbeinu, being so generous to Klal Yisrael, says, since Shabbos is Matana Toiva, as the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, Matana Toiva Yeshli Beis Genazai, I have this wonderful gift, the Shabbos Shemai. So we say on Shabbos, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us this gift of Shabbos, he also gives us the gift of the Ksarim, of those crowns that we receive back. Why? Because man the yom matana bein yofa, he gives it to us that in the most generous fashion. However, when is that the case? When we get a gift, when we get a gift and we know how to treat it. But if the person who gives us a gift, or somebody, whoever gives us a gift, sees that we're getting the gift and we're not treating the gift properly, then he takes back the gift. So we daven on Shabbos, that as we get the gift of Shabbos, as we get the gift of the Ksarim, we should know how to treat them properly, that we should be worthy of keeping the gift. And that's why we say, Yismach Moshe, we daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Moshe Rabbeinu should be happy with the way we're treating the gift. The Chiddush HaRim also says that since we're learning Hamnois Matana Be'en Yofa Noisa, so he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael the Torah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Be'en Yofa, it's a gift, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us generously. He says, what does that mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the gift in a generous fashion? He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the ability to learn Torah. Somebody, as we just learned, receives this gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, which is called the Torah, and appreciates the gift, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very satisfied with the gift that he gives us. He gives us not just the Torah. He gives us all of what's needed to be able to learn Torah. He gives us the panasa that we should be able to have the time, not be busy with other things. He gives us the menuchas hanefesh. He gives us the yeshiva das. Everything that's given, everything that we need to be able to properly learn Torah is given along with the Torah. Why? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah as a gift, nasan lanu at Torah's emes, and he gives it to us in a generous fashion. And the same thing that I see that the Sfas Emes says, that it goes for Shabbos. If we just learned that every week we receive the Shabbos as a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, matana tovi yeshli beis genazai, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the gift in a generous fashion. And a person who indeed appreciates the gift of Shabbos, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, what that means, what appreciating the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us with Shabbos, included in that appreciation is to if we appreciate it, then the gift will bring everything that we need for the Shabbos. So we won't just have Shabbos Kodesh, but we'll be able to have the Panasa and everything else that we need to be able to enjoy Shabbos properly, as long as we are ready to take the gift and receive the gift properly. We learned in the Mishnah, Hamagdish Asada, if somebody is Magdish a field, Higdish Kula. Rav Shimon Omer, Hamagdish Asada, Lahigdish Ela Ascharov, Abmurkav Asada Nashikma. All the different parts of a field that are not normally included, says Rav Shimon, are not included here either. What is included, says Rav Shimon, is this, the trees, nothing else. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna, Afagav the Amar, Rabbanan, even the Rabbanan have taught us, Akanish Dei Elanus B'Toich Shel Chaveiroi. We're going to learn, Mitzvah Shem, that if somebody buys trees in somebody else's property, if he bought only two trees, he owns the tree, but does not own the property that's next to the tree, and not the property under the tree. And what that practically means is that if the tree will die, he cannot replant another tree there. However, macher, if I sold property to somebody else, v'shayer shnei eloi nosev lefonav, and I kept two trees for myself, yeshloi, then I kept, not just that I keep the trees, but I kept the property under the tree, and I could plant on that property if the tree should die. And the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara is, even if we'll say, as we have been saying, the Moicher Ben Yofer Moicher, that when somebody sells something, they typically sell it in a generous fashion, this person is clearly showing us that he's not that type of individual, because he kept the tree in the property. So we can't, the trees in this property that he sold. So we can't call this individual, an individual who's a Moicher Ben Yofer. That's not how we could call him. What must be the case? It must be that since he retained for himself this property, the retention of this property represents that he's going to keep not just the trees, but he's going to keep the earth under the tree. Because I feel Rabbi Kiva the Omar, even according to Rabbi Kiva that says Moicher Ben Yofer Moicher, Hani Mili Gabe Bar Vados. When we speak about the Bar Vados, he doesn't get anything else. There's no reason for me to get the property. The property has nothing to do with the Bar Vados. Aval Onus. But when we speak about the trees, the Kamachshi Ara, that they do die out. So certainly, and I wanted to retain the trees. Included in my retention of the trees is exactly that if something should happen to the tree, I own the earth, and I'll be able to get back that tree. I'll be able to replant another tree. Because Isa, the Loishire, says the Mara, because if when I kept trees for myself, I didn't mean to keep the earth under it, says the Gemara, why can't the buyer tell me when my tree dies, I call along Chazukah v'shar, take your dead tree. And the halacha is that certainly is not what I meant. And therefore we take it to mean in a situation that I keep the earth for myself. How about, says the Rashbam, the other way around. Somebody bought trees in my property, but since he bought trees in my property, clearly what he meant to do was only buy trees. And therefore, since the intention was this person is only buying trees, if something happens to the trees, he doesn't have any more rights in this property. Ask the Gemara. Tanan, we just learned in our Mishnah. The Rav Shimon Amar Magdish the Sada, Lahigdish Ela Charov HaMerkav, the Sadana Shikma. These types of trees are included. What about other types of trees? And certainly Rav Shimon will agree that they're part of the field. But Tari Allah, and explaining this price, Amar Rav Shimon, Matam, why are they included? Usually, as we have been learning, the Charov HaShikma, the Charov HaMerkav and the Sadan HaShikma are significant and should not be included. However, Yonkim is Dei Hegdish. The answer is that somebody was Magdish, he was Magdish the entire property. And by being Magdish the entire property, he is also being Magdish the property that will give nourishment to these trees. And halacha, of course, is that you're not allowed to have that the halacha is Gedulei Hegdish are Hegdish. And since Gedulei Hegdish are Hegdish, you obviously didn't keep the tree for yourself, because you can't keep the tree for yourself, because the tree is nourishing off of Hegdish, and therefore that tree becomes Hegdish. But says the Gemara, If we're saying that when somebody is magdish something, what is meant when he's magdish it, the halacha is that what is meant when he's magdish it, that he's not just keeping the tree, but he's keeping the property under the tree. So ask the Gemara, what is the concern that the property under the tree is hegdish? The property under the tree is not hegdish. I kept that part for myself. Kikoyanki. So ask the Gemara, why is this a concern? Kikoyanki, but the nafshikoyanki. If they're nourishing, they're not nourishing off hegdish, which is an issue. They're nourishing off my property, private property, which should not be a problem. Answers the Gemara. Rav Shimon, Damak Rav Akiva. Rav Shimon holds like his Rebbe, like Rav Akiva, who says, Hamoicha ben Yofel Moicher. And therefore, since he holds Hamoicha ben Yofel Moicher, we assume that when he was magdish the property, he was magdish it in a generous fashion. What does it mean when we say that he was magdish it in a generous fashion? That he certainly meant to give. He meant to give the property. He meant to give the hegdish the property. And now we have the problem that his trees are nourishing off hegdish. So the Rishayim asks, the Rashbam asks, an obvious question. Why is the Gemara trying to say that Rav Shimon holds like Rav Akiva, and the Rabbanon holds, and Rav Huna holds like the Rabbanon, and that he keeps the property for himself? Why couldn't the Gemara just have said, simple, that there's a difference between Magdish and Moicher? That a Moicher who retains as much as he can, meaning that he's not just going to retain the trees, he's also going to keep in the karka. When he's magdish, he doesn't take that approach. And he doesn't take that approach. He says that he meant to give away the property as well. So the Rashbam seems to say that is part of the Gemara's uncertainty. The Gemara does want to hold that that even though Magdish is more generous than Moicher, the Gemara is not quite prepared to hold that a Magdish is equivalent to Matana. And therefore, the Gemara did not want to use a difference between Magdish and Moicher as its approach, but rather, the Gemara says that Rav Shimon holds like his Rebbe, Rabbi Kiva. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna said his pshat like the Bonim Pshita. Is there any need to say this halakha? If Rav Huna asked the Gemara, was saying his psak, because he paskins like Rabbanan. And throughout the perek, we've been learning that the opinion of the Rabbanan is Moicher bein Ram Moicher, and he keeps as much as possible for himself. So, of course, the person who kept the trees kept the property. Answers the Gemara, the reason what Rav Huna was coming to teach us is nafkamina di nafli hadashasalu. Of course he keeps the property that the tree is on. But if not for what Rav Huna taught us, we might have thought, now what does that mean? We might have thought that means he keeps the property as long as the tree is alive. But they should have such a right that they should keep it even after the tree dies. Maybe that, even if we hold Moicher ben Ram Moicher, and he's keeping the property, doesn't mean that much. That's why it was necessary to tell us that no. When he says Moicher ben Ram Moicher, it means total retention of the field to the degree that even if the field if the tree dies, he replant a new tree. Our Gemara has been teaching us that Noisa Matana ben Yofa Noisa. Somebody gives a gift, he gives it generously. So the Cheshukri Chemet discusses a situation where somebody was a refugee and he was in a place and he didn't have any panasa, and there's somebody who is a generous person, and he told this refugee, I have a hall, a foyer in my home. You could set up shop there. And the story says he started selling hats, and he was actually successful. And at a certain point, the owner of this home says to him that, you know, at this point, this wasn't meant to be like this forever. And at this point, you should be finding yourself a place to rent where you could have your business. The refugee says, you gave me a gift. You didn't attach any time frame to the gift. Hanois matana ben yofenoisen. We've been learning that if somebody gives a gift, it's given generously. And therefore, I should have a right to stay here in definitely. So he says that there was an episode that the Sha'as HaTshuvas, Sri Dei, Shechel Gimel, Simon and Pei Gimel and Pei Dalad, discussed that happened during World War II when London was being bombed, and the people that lived in London went to live in different places, and there was no mikveh. So there was a generous person who allowed them to build a mikveh in his backyard on his property. After the war, most people went back to London, but there were some people that want from the Jewish group wanted to remain in London, in this area. And this person, this generous person, wanted to sell his home. And obviously, whoever wanted to buy the home also wanted to get the backyard. And the people who had the mikveh there said, you gave it to us. You can't sell it. And he said, I only gave it to you for during the time of the war. You lived here. You had a large community here. You needed a mikveh. At this point, where you're living here because you want to live here and you don't have such a large community. And if you want to have a mikveh, the halacha, you should go build yourself a mikveh. I never meant to give this to you permanently. And now I want to be able to sell it. So the question is, how do we look at this? And the way to understand this Gemara, the way to understand this Gemara is that we learned earlier that the difference between a gift and a sale is by a sale, since it's a legitimate transaction and people are paying for what they're receiving, everything should have been spoken out. And if it wasn't spoken out, then we have to make our own interpretations. But by a gift, people are naturally embarrassed. You know, you're giving me a gift. Whatever you give me, I should take. And therefore, since it wasn't spoken out, then we take the interpretation to mean, but he says, as much as that is part of the consideration, that we also have to look at a gift, and we have to look at the circumstances around the gift. The person who's letting somebody set up a store in his home is not that he wants his home to turn into a shopping market. He's giving this person that opportunity because it's a tough situation. He's giving the people the right to make a mikveh because they were refugees. It was a war. They had to escape where they lived and they needed a mikveh. It's very clear that that was his intention. And even though it was a gift, and even though we're saying Hanois Matana Ben Yofenoisen, here the person receiving the gift has no right to claim that the gift was meant to be given forever and he would be able to evict them.